Parshas Behaloischa. Behaloischa starts off with the tzivui, the commandment to Aaron to light the menorah. It says Aaron did it. Definitely things that can be learned out of here. The reason it's here, Rashi says, why is this connected to the end of Nasi? So he says, because Aaron saw that all the Nasiim, all the princes from all the Shvatim, from all the rest of Klal Yisrael, got to bring special karbanos on the first day, and Shevet Shalevi didn't have anything special for themselves. So he felt bad. So therefore Hashem said, don't worry, what you're going to do is greater. That's why it's put in here. It's saying what you're going to do about lighting the menorah is much greater than theirs.
So then it should say before.
And don't worry about it. What do you mean, therefore it should say before? This is the order of events. This is what happened. It says, Aaron felt bad. And now Hashem's telling him, don't worry. Agav, the Ramban is Masber. Why exactly is menorah greater? What is Hashem really telling him anything? So Ramban goes on to say that really we could say that it means he's trying to be meramez to him that yours will be greater because it's referring to the fact that all of Bnei Yisrael will eventually light the menorah, referencing the fact that Hanukkah was one Ayde, the menorah with the Chashmonaim, and to this day we still light menorah. So in that sense, in that shape or form, it definitely makes sense that Hashem is telling Aaron, don't worry, through you that you're lighting the menorah, that'll be a bringing out to everyone in Klal Yisrael, and that's why it makes sense to say Shalacha G'dayim Shalahem, that yours is Taka greater than theirs. Rashi says that the menorah had a maila, had a step. Had a step that on it the kohen stood and literally lit the menorah. So the shaila is that we know that the menorah was 18 tefachim tall, and generally the Gemara says a person is 3 amos, and when he sticks out his hand, that's a whole extra amma. So therefore, his head himself is 18, and then with the extra, you really have 24. So what's going on? Why did you need a step in front of the menorah? So one of the answers is that the way the tefachim worked in the Mishkan was not necessarily the same way as it worked in other places, and therefore it comes out that really the 18 of the menorah is really the same as our 24, so that's why you need a step.
So it's easier to be higher than what you like.
No, that's not anocha. That's anocha in the first place. That if it's at my head, then I still need to be able to take my hand and go like this. Then another answer is that it's for a short kohen. Another answer is that the Panim Yofis asked, why does Rashi say Milo Meitiv? Meitiv doesn't mean light. Meitiv means prepare. He says that taka, to lie, you're right, you didn't need to be higher. We're talking about that in order for the preparation of the menorah, which was done twice during the day, doing the 5 nairs and the 2 nairs, so that way with cleaning out the wicks and putting in the oil, for that you would actually need the mila. Another answer is, like Ari Leib said, that the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to lift his hands above the tzitz. He's not above his forehead line because the tzitz is there with the Shem Hashem. So therefore, he doesn't gain that extra amma. So therefore, like we said, he'd only be able to go level with his head, which that's not enough in order to light it. Someone asked that Avivai that we're saying about the Meitiv, and not only that, with the whole famous Reb Chaim and the Shittas Rambam, that the Hadlaka is not a mitzvah, the lighting the menorah is not a mitzvah, it's actually the Hatovas Haneris is the mitzvah of the setting up. So therefore, why would he need begadim for that? Why would he need to wear his beged? Okay, fine. Supporna says very nicely, another thing that we can learn out of here, it says Amul Pnei HaMenorah, that they all have to face inwards. Says the Supporna very nicely, that you have the Neris on the right, you have the Neris on the left. What's that representing? That's representing that the people on the right is the people who are Isaac and Torah. The people on the left are the ones who are Isaac in business and working. And we're saying that they should all come together as one fair conglomeration of the people on the right, the people on the left, each supporting each other, coming to one lahav of the middle. And he ends off with a play on the words of Lashon, Vayanu Kalam Yachta, Vayanu Kalasha, Diva Hashem Naseh. In other words, between all of us, we will fulfill Hashem's word and His Torah.
Right,
so we're saying, right, the right nearest, the three right nearest and three left nearest, they have to face towards the middle near on the menorah. Sporna is saying that's being ramas to the nearest on the right are like the Bnei Torah, sitting with the right, which is the Torah. The people on the left, the nearest on the left, are like the people who work. Isaac and Chayel Amazet. But they come and they support, each one supporting the other one. This and this is giving them their Torah. They're giving the bits. This all goes for one beautiful conglomeration, Tashem.
Does that go together with putting your feet a little bit that way, a little that way? Learning.
Yeah. That's what's saying, what you want to be zeichet to. If you want to be zeichet to Torah, turn towards the, what's it called?
Right or left.
Turn towards the south. No, but the reason we're turning towards the south,
it's the same angle or not?
Yes, it's mirror image. Yeah, no, it fits. Well, yeah, very nice. Hey, what are you trying to say? You're trying to say, the Gemara says, if you turn towards the right, then that's to be zeichet to the Darim, that's to be zeichet to the Torah, like the Menorah was Bedarim. If you turn to the left, that's Bitzofen, that's the Shulchan was Bitzofen. And that's trying to say that the Eisher is coming. In other words, no, I would say like this, because the Shulchan is referred to as the riches. The Menorah is usually referred to as Torah. What are we saying here? Saying here that the Menorah has both in it.
Right,
so maybe you could say that Enochrami, the Shulchan is a bracha of riches. The Menorah is a bracha of Torah. When the riches are being done for the Torah, then it's all Torah.
There's also two levels. There's a Madriga of money. Imagine a guy sits all day learning on the side, does a business thing. It's a lot of money, and there's the guy that gives $1 million a year, but doesn't touch a book.
Forget about touching a book. What is that guy who makes $1 million a year? He tries to uphold Torah? He tries to uphold Torah?
Yeah, but I mean, the guy learning Torah.
I hear, so maybe he's even part of the right side, the first guy you're referring to. I don't know.
No, but
we're trying to say the guy on the left, even if he doesn't know how to learn, but as long as he supports Torah and upholds the idea, then even he is like to be on that left side of the menorah. The Shulchan maybe will be Stamazaya rich as a good Jew, but doesn't necessarily support Torah.
So you can sell it to the
Peter Garden.
You sell it to the
Peter Garden? Yeah. What I'm trying to bring from there is that they're saying Menorah is Torah. Here we're saying Menorah is both. I'm trying to say that the left side of the Menorah being Torah is that because it's supporting Torah.
So when you're standing by the right, that's for Torah, and the left is the opposite.
It's for riches, yeah.
What is left?
Right is towards the Menorah, and left is towards the Shulchan.
No, but so your feet to the right is what? Your feet to the right is
it's towards where the menorah was, that's Torah.
And to the left is money?
The Shulchan, yes. We're saying over here everything on the menorah. Okay, good. Anyways.
So then it's both right. And everything's right.
I hear that could be something because a chashuva person is supposed to be on the right. Maybe it's because of that. I don't know.
So everyone do everything to the right, then you get both.
What Shlomo Melech asked for? He was offered riches and Torah. He asked for Torah. He got both. He asked for Torah. He asked for Chochmah. He asked for Torah. And he ended up with everything. Okay. The next it talks about the Levim. The Levim are chosen in this week's parasha and explains the entire process of what was done. They had to have we'll see in a second, but basically a huge haircut. Rashi explains why. Because since they are being a kapara, they are being an atonement for the Bechayres that served the Avodah Zarah. And Avodah Zarah, serving Avodah Zarah is called Zivchi Mason, dead. So, and Avodah Zarah is called dead, so therefore we treat them like Mitzrayim, that they have to have Virutara called Basarah. Did they get a full body haircut or not? So, first of all, before that, who did it? Who did it? That's who it was done to. Who did it? Vaydabar Hashem al Moshe lemer kachas elavim. Seemingly, it was Moshe. But the end of the parsha says Vayas Bnei Yisrael, that Bnei Yisrael did this. So what does it mean? So the Sipurna says that Bnei Yisrael helped him. Rabbi Ephraim says that, and the Moshe's Kenim say that it was done to the, that it was told to, Moshe told Levim, all right, let's go. And they said no. And therefore he asked Bnei Yisrael for help, and that's why it was Bnei Yisrael and Moshe together. The question on that is that Rashi says beferish that the Levim were not ma'akev. It was ashrei them that they just went ahead and did it willingly. So you have to know exactly how that works out. Okay, so about to the full body haircut or not. So the Baal Turim says that it says by Metzora v'Hiskaloch, and with a big gimel, and to show that three people are Megaleach everything. And one of them is a Levi, right? The Metzora, the Levi, and the Nazar. So therefore, seemingly it's everything. The Goyin in the Vilna Goyin Meseches Metzora, in Meseches the Goyin, I'm sorry, says that a nazir cuts a sa'ar reishai, seemingly only is the hair of his head. A mitzayra and levium cut everything on their body. Chizkuni says a massive wild chiddush that they cut them nicely, leaving, cutting everywhere, cutting some and leaving some, like a trim, a nice trim. It's a wild chiddush, but he says, because otherwise they would look disgusting, and it's not mitzayra that they did this. And Lamaisa, the Medrash says, the Kairach complained, but one of his big tainus was that he was sitting there totally bald without a hair on his body and saying, look, look what Moshe did to us, look what Moshe did to us. So it's definitely Mashal, they know Chanami, that is what they looked like.
No hair at all?
Yep. Yep.
Really?
Like the Chinese made their
hair. Yeah, I guess so. Mm. So then, well, this is leaving nothing.
So Moshe comes. So all the kind of things change?
I don't know. It seems like this was the first time that they were chosen. So not necessarily.
Okay.
Evan Ezra says that they cut the beard, but not the payas. I guess because that's a Befer Shalav. You have to know why the beard. The beard also is a Befer Shalav. What will be the difference? Tarschaim and Ervin says, very interesting, that they did everything, but not with the razor. So therefore, you're not running into problems of Averis. Okay. Fine. The Carbon Pesach. Rashi says that really this should have been stated at the beginning of the Sefer of Bamidbar, but it didn't state it there because this is a Genusan Shel Klal Yisrael. Shekol Arbaim Shana Shel Yisrael Bamidbar, the entire 40 years that Klal Yisrael was in the Midbar, Lo Yikrivu Pesach, Ela Pesach Zebavad. They only brought this one. And therefore, it's embarrassing for them, so that's why we put it here. What's the big deal? You look back in Sefer Shemais, the Lashonis seem to say Kisavay Ala Aretz when you come to Eretz Yisrael. So fine, you want to say Hashem specifically commanded this one for some reason to do the Midbar Hayrasha. Fine, but otherwise, why are they supposed to do the other 30 plus years? It says only in Eretz Yisrael. So the Panach Raza and others answer because it's a genus, because they didn't go into Eretz Yisrael right away. Hashem said it, assuming that Klal Yisrael was going to go in right away, and therefore, all right, do one now, and right afterwards we'll go in, and by next year we'll be in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, it is their fault. Today's Kedushin also says this, because it's their fault, right? We know it's their fault that they stayed in the Midbar. And therefore, it's there, and that's why it's an embarrassment to them that they only made this Karban Pesach. True! They're answering that really, you're right. The Karban Pesach can only be done is only supposed to be done in Eretz Yisrael. But Bnei Yisrael makes a Karban Pesach in this week's parasha. And it says that it's embarrassment to them that they only made this one. They didn't make the rest of the Midbar, the other 40, almost 40 years, they didn't make one. Why is it an embarrassment to them? It says when you come to Eretz Yisrael. So we're answering because the fact that why they remain in the Midbar for 40 years? Their fault! So therefore, Hashem would have chosen for you to, would have had you going right away. So they lose out. They lose out in Achnami. There's like we've said many times even though they didn't necessarily, it's a shiloh whether they participated in the Meraglim or not. We'll see next week. It's a shiloh if they participate in the Eagle also.
Someone was sent from Levi?
What?
Is there someone sent from Levi?
No, but you have to know if they cried or not. We'll see next week. See you next week. Anyways, so that's what these Bali Toysen are answering. The Ramban answers that
they would have been in Eretz Yisrael.
Exactly. Al Hashem, they should have been in Eretz Yisrael.
Second year already.
Exactly. They should have been there. And then Hashem doesn't have what to worry about. Ramban answers that because of the ego. That what happened, the ego came. Because of the ego, there was no Ruach Tzufaynus. There was no northern wind. When there's no northern wind, you can't do Bris Milah because it's dangerous. And when there's no Bris Milah and you have kids in your family, then you're not allowed to do a Karban Pesach. Everyone follow? Again? In order to be, the ego was done, there's no more northern winds. Northern wind is supposed to come to help heal a Milah. Why do you need what does a Milah have to do with Karban Pesach? You're not allowed to do a Karban Pesach if you have someone in your family that doesn't have a Bris Milah. Therefore, that was the first year. Very good. That was the first year. That's why this Karban Pesach is good. But the other Karban Pesachs couldn't have been done because there were people without a Bris Milah. And Mamela, there's no northern wind. There's no northern wind. Mamela, they can't do Bris Milah. They can't have a Karban Pesach. But once again, the question is, what are they supposed to do? There's no northern wind. Answer is once again that it's their fault that there's no northern wind. So once again, the same idea that the Bali Taisin are saying of because of the Meraglim, and the Ramban is answering that it's because of the ego, but it's all the same idea. In other words, you might be stuck between a rock and a hard place, but if there was something that had what to do with you, then we don't care that at this point it's not your fault. Look at the beginning. Was somewhere it yes your fault? Then you're being blamed. The Gerarya says that even an oinus is called a genai. Similarly, very interesting in Parshas Vayechi, he says that noshim, that they're not mekai mitzvah sasesha as man grama is called a genai. They're potter. Whatever the explanation is exactly, but you see also that the fact that someone's not being mekai mitzvah, it's called a genai. I happen to randomly, for some other purpose, see a Ramesha today. And Ramesha, I think it was Ramesha, in Ugris Ramesha, Ramesha was saying, maybe Darash Ramesha, he was saying that. Oh, he was saying from later on the parasha. We'll get to in a minute about the Pesach Sheni. But he said, you saw that even if you're batim potter for a mitzvah, there's an inyan, there's an idea that it makes sense to do something that at least shows that you wanted to do the mitzvah. For he says, for instance, that if someone batim is potter from sukkah, I don't know, they're sick, whatever, still build a sukkah. To show that. What should I do? I'm potter, but I still want to show that was more lomi nigar. But I'm trying to bring on the same thing here. Fine, but did you do what you can for the mitzvah? That would be the what's it called?
There was no one born during the
Fakir. There was, of course, there was.
Don't you say that everyone was healed and there was nothing to worry about? There
when
in the midbar, that no one had to worry about food, drink, and also everyone was safe in the clothes room.
I hear, but
health was fine.
Okay, but a Bris Milah.
Health was fine, and we don't need to worry about the door.
But to go do a Bris Milah.
To go do a Bris Milah
and put it in. Who's everyone? No one did.
No one had Bris Milah during the 40 years?
No, that's why it's such a big deal. What's it called? When Yeshua, Haftarah when? Pesach? I don't remember when. What's it called? Haftarah towards the beginning of Sefer Yeshua. It said that we had a huge Bris Milah. It was like a mass Bris Milah. Dam was flowing that day. Like it was beyond.
Oh, that was Dam Milah, the midbar.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Nothing the whole midbar.
Thank you.
We'll get to maybe later parts, whatever. It could be either Levi didn't do it or Fakir Levi, either Pashas Levi did it. Ubrischa Yinsayru, it says in Parshas Leis Abracha, that they did Bris Milah. Question is how they do Bris Milah. So either they had Rach Tzvaynes because they didn't do the ego. So they had it. Or they did it anyways, and they knew that they were able to be Meteach Hashem because they lived so much with Hashem, so they were able to be Mesakin themselves, put themselves in such sakana, even though it's such sakana, they were allowed to do it, and they are praised for that in Zayis Abraha. L'chair, any Yisrael would do it, would not be, because he goofa caused it not to be. Yeshua does it when they get to Eretz Yisrael, right?
Okay.
She was the one to get to Eretz Yisrael, all kinds of things.
So women should learn chess?
The Mishnah says that weapons are a genai for a person, even if it's a mitzvah for him to go out to war, he's mechayiv to go out, it's still a genai for him to be carrying the weapon.
Yeah.
It's genai. What's it called?
Yeah, I didn't found the Bais Yaakovs. I'm not sure exactly how they work.
Yeah,
they learn like more of my homework. I'm like, what? That? It's like, what? I'm like, yeah, that cuff in the time. I'm like, well, I'm not out there. I'm not sorry.
Okay. Anyways. So, all right, tonight is Mashkir Rabbi Yochanan's Yahrzeit. Tonight, Yud Ches Sivan. So, we'll mention a mimer now from him. We'll mention a mimer a little bit later. Pesach Sheni. What do they say? They come to Moshe Rabbeinu. We were Tamei. Lama Nigara, why should we lose out? So, says Rashi, really, Rui Ohisa Parsha Zulei Amar De Moshe. It should have been said, Al Yidei Moshe Kishar Kol Tar Kula, just like the rest of the Torah. Elo Shezachu Elo Shetayam Al Yidein. These, they were Zecha that it should be said, Al Yidei Dem, Shemagalgon Tzchus Al Yidei Zakai, because we roll, Hashem rolls Tzchusim Al Yidei people who are Zakai. Now, first of all, Agav, and this is not necessarily Rabbi Rocham, what's their Hava Amina? This is the Ramesha we were mentioning before. I gave an example to someone. The Rebbe makes a Siyam, a huge Siyam for the end of the year, and a kid's sick. Kid's sick that day. He comes in the next day, Rebbe, I missed to see him. He says, sorry, maybe I can give you a little peck. He can't recreate for him the music. He can't recreate for him. You were sick. What do you want us to do? What was their hava mina that there was anything? Very nice. You were Tommy. What do you want us to do? That's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is gone. You miss a day. Chas v'sham. Someone misses a day at tefillin. It's gone. Movus le'achol iskan. What do they want? That's why Ramesha really was saying before that you see, maybe from the chuk of wanting to come to Hashem. They didn't know, as far as they knew, there was no halacha. As far as Moshe knew, there was no halacha. But they still came to show we really wanted. And Baruch Hashem, they were talking zeichet to something. That was Ramesha saying to you, say that at least, even if there is nothing for you, but at least go show something that you really want the mitzvah.
If they would decide anything,
very good. So let's say Rabbi Rocham, and then you can clear afterwards. So there's similarly in Parshas Pinchas. We'll mention it now. Parshas Pinchas, you have B'nai Slavchad. It's saying that everyone's getting a Nachla. Comes B'nai Slavchad, Avinu Meis Bamidbar, our father died. What are we supposed to do? It's not fair. Rashi says the same thing over there. Megalgon Tzchus, and then Hashem gives the Parsha of Nachla. That daughter, if there's no sons, then girls can also inherit the land. And the same thing over there, Rashi says, Megalgon Tzchus Al Yidei Zakai. Now, the big question is like this. First of all, what's the difference? Seemingly, both places it says, Vaydabar Hashem Al Moshe Leimar, when it's saying the halacha. So what's the difference? It's the exact same thing. What? Because we mentioned the start of the story, who cares? What's different here than anywhere else? First of all, and secondly, like you're saying, let's see if we can have some sort of answer. Does that mean that if they wouldn't have said it, there wouldn't have been anything in the Torah? What's going on? Says Rabbi Yerucham as follows. Aliso lamarim shavisa shevi. It says in Tehillim, that Moshe, I think it's in Tehillim, that Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shamayim and he captured down the Torah. What does it mean he captured down the Torah? I mean, didn't Hashem give it to him? Like, wasn't it a present? All the things are present. What does that mean? He got it. First of all. Second of all, we know there's a famous saying of Chazal, She'elas Chacham Chatzit Tshuva, that the question of a Chacham, a wise question, is half the answer. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean it's half the answer? Seemingly, it's not just trying to say that really you could have done without it, but it happens to be it came in already, but really the answer is the answer without it. Says Rabbi Yerucham Avadanat, She'elas Chacham Chatzit Tshuva, that an answer without the wise question prior, you don't have the full picture. Says Rabbi Yerucham, the way the Torah worked, I don't know how you work out everything. It's a good question. But Rabbi Yerucham says, Beferish, and I've heard this many, many times, shame from him, shame from Arshiva, Zainikul, and his father. Maybe you say that because Avram Be'etzim did everything, so that's why they knew. The way the Torah went was, Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, what is the halacha if someone steals? Hashem told him. Halacha is, the guy has to be careful. What is the halacha if someone, what is the halacha about Shabbos? So, Hashem told him. What is the halacha if someone works on Shabbos? The Misa. What is the halacha about trees when you first plant them? Hashem told him Arla. Kohena v'Kohena v'Kohena, the entire Torah, al-yidei she'ela v'tshuva. Right, like it's so important. Pesach night, that the chaf of Pesach night, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik says, is that it's asking and answering. That's the chaf of Pesach night. It's not just randomly. Oh, okay. Thank God your kid asked a few questions. Let's get to the answer already. No, the question is important. The answer is important. The entire Torah was important that it should go with a question and an answer. That's what means Moshe Rabbeinu got it. He asked a question. Ooh, got another mitzvah. You got it. Says Rabbi Yerucham, the entire Torah went like this, except for two mitzvahs. The answer, Avada, was given in the same way. But the question came al yedei the anoshim tameim who wanted Pesach Sheni and Benoit Slavchad. They, quote unquote, asked the question. They came up with it. Moshe Rabbeinu repeated it to Hashem, but they were the ones who repeated it. They were the ones who asked the question. That's the Megal Gan Tzchus HaYidei Zakai. It's not randomly that it mentions them in the beginning. They got a tzchus. The question was asked HaYidei them. What a powerful thing. What a powerful thing. Okay, what would have been had it not? Well, it's a good question. Hashem maybe would have. Well, Hashem would have caused someone else who was meritable to ask the question. Pashtus not, because somehow they had to say that. They had to say that. Avram knew it. Avram knew the entire Torah. Right? But he probably gave it over to his kids and his kids and his kids, and they probably know it. It's a good question, but it says that Avram knew the entire Torah, even the Darabon, it's a very tough shilu, right? That's what it says. That's what Chazal say.
What? What was that?
And Nachla, and inheritance. So.
Tumas Meis, the carbon Pesach, Aaron Pesach Sheni, and Nachla weren't negeya by Avram because they.
That's what he's trying to say, but Avram knew the whole Torah. That's what it says.
I think that's why he didn't ask. That's why they didn't know it from Avram, because.
Oh, that's no. Okay, but you have what Reb Naftali is saying. What if they wouldn't have asked? No, but fine, very nice. But what if they wouldn't have asked? So it would have been only 611 mitzvahs. Good point. But so I'm trying to say that Hagufa. That's the Megal Gan Tzchus. Hashem would have worked it out. Hashem would have worked it out. Aidei another Zakai. Okay, now there's an interesting Rashi that gets played around with. Pashas Rashi says by this Pesach Sheni, are you allowed to have chametz there or not? Are you allowed to have chametz on Pesach Sheni? Agav, let's make clear, Pesach Sheni is Yudalad Iyar. Kimat Moskim Lakol, I maybe saw one sheet that says, oh, Kimat Moskim Lakol, Pesach Sheni is Yudalad Iyar, because that's the Yudalad Nisan. That night you have to eat it with matzah. Very nice. You have to, of course you have to. A matzah, yeah, a matzah, it says. Yeah, of course. But was there chametz or not? So says Rashi. You eat it the night of Tetzvah. Eat it that night. It's just like the first conversation. Says Rashi. Pesach Sheni matzah v'chametz imoy bebayis, matzah and chametz with him in the house. Vein shem yontiv, vein iser chametz ela imoy ba'achilasei. Seemingly, the English way to read this Rashi, and the way the Menachas Chinuch reads this Rashi, the way most people read this Rashi, there's no iser chametz only when he's eating it. That's similar to what it says. Ein iser chametz ela imoy ba'achilasei. But avada could be in your house. Ayin memvav. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Anyways. So the Lamaisa asked the Menachas Chinuch Sfasem is where did Rashi find such an Isser? Meshach Chachma says it's only a lava b'machal say. Lamaisa Rav Shach says in Avi Esri that you read Rashi like this. Ain Isser Chametz. There's no Isser Chametz. Kama. Ella imay b'achi lasa. It could even be with you while you're eating it. You can even eat it together. That is how Rav Shach takes the Rashi, and then you have no kasha. But Lamaisa, Menachas Chinuch and the other Achronim did not learn like this. They learned that it means that there is an Isser to have the chametz around you while you're eating it. You got it. It's alive in your house, but it can't be with you. I don't know, the same bite. I don't know exactly what the musig will be, but
maybe if we eat 6 hours, wash out your mouth.
What? The Mishnah just says that imay babayis. It doesn't say anything about this eating.
I was going to say,
Lamaisa Rashi in Sukkah says, V'eichu chametz binyad. which is more mashal Gemara's Chinuch. In other words, that like, right, again, it's a Rashi. It's Rashi's Shitas. It's not giving him a card, but at least it's mashal that Rashi himself held that it can't be while you're eating the matzah. But okay. So we have that Klal Yisrael runs away from Har Sinai, Ketinik Berech, Beis HaSeif, or whatever it means on their level. And then you have the two nuns to separate Vahim and Tzayiv Nucha Yoymar. And then you have the two punishments after of the Misayinim and the complaining of the Slav up against the Mun. Chazal say that this Be'etzim, that what the Gemara says, what are these nuns trying to show? It's trying to show the Be'etzim, this is not Mikaymai. But it's over here to separate being Puranus and Puranus between the punishments. Why the nuns? Why the backwards nuns? So says the Marsha in Shabbos that Kozman, they were in Har Sinai, they didn't do any chait. They left and they started doing these chatayim. So nun equals nefila, that they had this downfall. And it's just like in, says the Marsha, just like in Asher, the Gemara Bracha says that we don't have any line beginning with nun in Asher because we don't want to symbolize the falling. We're meramis in the next line of Seimech Hashem. But so similarly, that's what these two nuns are trying to be meramis, that then the nun came, that then the chet came. Definitely a shtickle rem is that you should, staying in the mezgeris of the yeshiva, and like we've mentioned many times, doesn't mean you necessarily sit in yeshiva your whole life. Moran Yuma says, Avram Zaken v'yeshiv yeshiva, Yitzchak Avinu Zaken v'yeshiv yeshiva, Yaakov Avinu Zaken v'yeshiv yeshiva. Does it really mean they've sat in yeshiva their whole lives? Yaakov, maybe yes. Yaakov Avinu Yeshiva, maybe. Seemingly Avram not. Avram went out to whatever. So like we've said many times, it means you take it with you, you live life, Ayidei Yeshiva. Then you can have the same Shmira, and that would be what this means. Lamaisa, the Maisei Hashem points out very interesting that we're talking about over here, Ketinach Berech Beis HaSefer. He points out that you see, going to Yeshiva, also you have to be careful to make sure to run. Foshteit says back in Parash Meshach, Vayasa Moshe. That Moshe had to rip them away from the riches to go to Yeshiva, to go to Har Sinai. Right, so you see also you have to be careful that you shouldn't have to be ripped. What? They were collecting Bizas Hayam, and Moshe had to force them away from it in order to, all right, let's continue moving to keep going towards Har Sinai. No. Moshe had to force them away. Whatever it was, however long it took them, but they didn't want to leave. They were reluctant to leave. They were busy soaking up the riches. Moshe had to grab them away from it.
What are you buying in the
what do you mean? They sell money.
So to buy the water and the earth that you had?
It says that they were right. We mentioned that these punishments, they're crying for what? They're crying for all this food that we used to eat in Mitzrayim is so sad. Zok Rashi from Chazal. They're very nice. The Torah says that they were crying for all this. But really, what were they were crying for? It says, which literally means crying amongst themselves, says Rashi. Really means al iske mishpachais. It was family related matters. In other words, al arayis and hanasar slam. They were crying about the fact that they couldn't do arayis anymore because they got the Torah. What? The top pasuk says they're complaining about the food. Where does Chazal say? Where does Chazal see that they were crying about the fact that they have an Issar Arayis?
Where's the
mikvah? What? What about sisters, mothers, aunts? What's going on over here?
Don't we say that, like, sometimes like bread is an illusion for a woman?
Okay, very nice, but it doesn't just say that. What do you do with the basar, the daga, the betzalim, the shuman, and everything that they complained about?
Just bread in general. Lechem
is usually used, though. You're right. It's usually lechem. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says an amazing, amazing aside about how people work. I don't exactly fully understand all the words that he uses. Ivris, Lashon Kodesh, whatever language he's using exactly, but the point is definitely there. He says like this. If you have a person who's complaining about things, and not everything adds up, that it makes sense 100% for him to be complaining about that, then you know there's something deeper. Cesar Biankiv, what do they have? They have the delicious tasting man, the more delicious than anything it could have been like anything. What are they complaining? We remember the good tasting meat and the fish and all the little good tastes. It doesn't line up for grown people, an entire nation, to be crying about that when you have this in front of you. Does it maybe make sense if they would have mentioned it? Maybe. Does it make sense if there wouldn't have been money? Maybe. But to have money, to mention that, there's got to be something deeper. There's got to be something way, 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 way deeper. And therefore, Chazal knew that there's something deeper, and they were able to learn up that it was Arias. Similarly, says Rabbi Yaakov, he says, Ayin Parslacha, that we introduced this. What does it say in Parslacha? Parslacha, it says, Light becomes an economist. Well, Avram, me and you, we both got riches. It's not going to work for us to be together with all the sheep and everything. Let me go, I'll go to Sudan. Says Chazal. He really said that he saw the good of the land. But no, no, no. Says Chazal, he went for Zina. Us. The poor guy. You can't let him have that he wanted some riches. Says Rabbi Yankiv, the same Yisoid. It doesn't line up. First of all, the chimil sazutrasahi that you're sitting by Avram. Very nice, you want riches. But is Avram such a thing that you're going to run away just because of a strategy to get more money? Does it make 100% sense? Even more so, where does money come from? From sitting with Avram. Goof is sitting with Avram. So now you're going to run away and think, what?
He lost their all when he left.
Love Dafka. Love Dafka. But Al Kaponim, the money Gufa came from being a, if you're sitting at what's called the Powerball keeps spinning out numbers, you're going to ever walk away from it? No. So why would you? Says Chazal, it's not lining up. Must be that there's something deeper. And just what? This is a big exciting life. Whenever anyone is has people under them, whether it's a teacher and students, whether it's a Rebbe and Talmidim, whether it's the head of a company and workers. You gotta know how to be able to see past them. Maybe when there's a bunch of tainas, there's another stamos that you say that then when there's a 10 tainas, usually none of them are true, and there's only one tain. 10 excuses, usually none of them are true. There's one excuse, and
but how do you give him from a rough?
No, so that already Chazal could be the Chazal. I mean, Chazal saw a hint to boichel limish b'chayisav. It's crying to their family, so they're able to see. Oh, it doesn't mean that there's got to be something deeper. And here's a hint that it didn't have to use this language. Why you use this language to try say about? Yeah,
but no, but they.
You do see
they did Buster. They got a dog name.
You do see that in both places, Chazal are nitfas. They call out them both Light and Klal Yisrael on Arayas. So I don't know. It must be that somehow they knew that this makes sense as to be a deeper thing.
Yeah,
what I'm saying? If it will be two different things. The Lloyd, they call out because he wants to speak Lashon Hara and hear about Arayas. Then I would say to you, Taka, it's a little hard to me why Chazal Punkt saw these. But it seems like that besides for a hint, that it seems like, maybe based on what you were saying before, that food has anyways what to do with that, and the riches that Chazal is going towards Arayas. It seems like that's always bottom line to be. Yeah, what's called? Yeah, Rabbi Yaakov says, and look what happened at the end of the day, that he ended up with what's called. Good. And it's another, yeah.
Also, at the end, when Sodom was about to be destroyed, Pesach says he was like, he wasn't sure where to go. He wanted to stay with his money. You think, like, why does he want to stay with his money if everything's about to be destroyed? With
so he lost it all, Doc. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, at the end of the day, I think you meant when someone's like when he went there. I think when someone's like when he went there. I think you're saying the separation from Avram doesn't mean that he lost it. But you're saying end of the day, yes. End of the day, you're saying yes.
Did he go back to Avram or after that?
No. No, forget it. He was very embarrassed after the whole thing with his daughter. It's very, very embarrassing.
The thing that I don't really understand, though, the motion makes sense, but don't we say that Klal Yisrael specifically didn't have Arias in Egypt?
They did.
Nashim had the Kiyar.
Good. So maybe that was Ashish-ish, but maybe they were still allowed to marry their aunts. Maybe they were still allowed to marry two sisters. Maybe they're allowed to do all these things.
Yeah.
Fakar, whether that shims very nice. What's called that part's over, but the shims very nicely with the following. That second. One second. Oh, Rebel said over from the Ostrovtsa. said that, who says from the Chef's Mice that by Matan Torah, they all became like Gerim. And we know Ger is like Katan Shinoilad. So it was like, why is the problem of Arias at all? They just went through Matan Torah. They're not related to anyone. What Arias is there to cry about? So the Maharal answers in Gur Aryeh that when it's a forced conversion, then this is not true, that it's Kikot and Shenoylan. Therefore, they were forced with Kofleim Harkinius, and that's why they would not be able to, what's it called? That's why they still had a rice. He's bringing this in to contrast that basically the end of the parsha speaks about Miriam, and it says that she had tzaras. The Gemara in Zvachim says that there was no one to be mitahar. Why? Moshe is a zar, Aaron's a karev. So the question is, Tosfos really asks this, Aaron's related, why can't you also say that Moshe is related? Why does it say Moshe is a non-kayin?
What about Yeshua?
Yeshua is definitely not a kayin. Yeah, you have to be.
No,
I thought like. So,
what about Aaron's sons?
They couldn't eat the same okay. thing, maybe. Karev, I forget exactly the chedjman the Gemara makes. Akoponim, but anyways, so Ribeiro wanted to say that the reason that it couldn't say that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Karev is because that's only if they were forced. Moshe Rabbeinu was where? On top of the mountain. On top of the mountain. So therefore, he wasn't forced. So therefore, his Geirus was Takakut Shanoilad. He's not related to Miriam. And therefore, the Torah had to say therefore the Gemara had to say a better pshat that he's a Tzar, a non-Kayin. Frecht or Beryl that Erstins. First of all, Aaron was also on the Har. So, and yet the Gemara is saying Kari, first of all. Secondly, Rebel asked that the Medrash in Yisrael says that in order so Moshe, that Klal Yisrael should not think that Moshe Rabbeinu is the one saying, Anoich Hashem Alekecha, specifically by that point, again, obviously it's mashma from what's going on, that Kaflim Harkius was not just 2 seconds. It sounds like it was a while, and that there's even a tzad that the entire Torah was given like that. But the Medrash says that Moshe was put under the Har with Klal Yisrael so that they wouldn't think that Moshe Rabbeinu is the one saying it. So therefore, at some point, he also was under the Har, and therefore, what exactly would be shot in this? Huh? Moshe Aaron, this Canaan?
Moshe was the only one that
Moshe was the furthest.
Moshe was the only one.
Moshe Aaron was the Canaan of Chitzlatzman.
No, you're shot of Moshe.
Yeah. They stayed at the bottom, but they were the closest.
They were eating and drinking. They were eating and drinking on the mountain. And also, how is it forced if everybody said not the Mishnah?
It's not bad.
It's a marriage discussion. It's
so bad. They said it underneath the mountain. They said the bad. No, they didn't. That means so
they
good.
They said Mass Mishnah before that.
That means this is the island of our for you, there's no shot of you were saying that Moshe got it not forced. That's a whole new level. Meaning Moshe Mount is a whole level of being there. But he said, I don't know, so that's good. Nothing to say.
No. Rashi in Yisrael says, "Atam mechitza atzmacha, Aaron mechitza atzma, Akayanim mechitza atzmam." Moges nigas Yisrael, Aaron Yisrael, and Akayanim. Va'am kol ikar al yarsu es matzavim lalis al Hashem. Yeah. No, Fakar, that's this week's parasha.
That's why they got further, but they didn't get as far.
1 second. I thought by Elda Dumegad. Where's Canaan? 1 second. I hear. Okay, good. You're right. Rashi and Shema is very nice, but it's a Moshe Levad to Vehemel Yigashu. Good. Maybe it means that's why Moshe got so far. Maybe they should have been right up there with Moshe and they weren't zeichet to that because of this. Okay, one last thing, Rabbi Yerucham, is that Moshe Rabbeinu says when he's saying to Hashem about the slav, Hashem says, what do you want? So give it to them. Moshe Rabbeinu says, what am I supposed to do? So Hashem says, Memel, I'm going to take from you, I'm going to take your nevuah and split it amongst 70 Zakenim. And this way they'll help you. Good. Now, Lamaisa, there's a sheet in the Medrash that Moshe didn't lose anything. But Lamaisa, the Medrash has a sheet or at least a hava amina that maybe Moshe Rabbeinu did lose. So what's pshat? So as Rabbi Yerucham, what you see from here that Hashem gives us in life what we're able to handle. In other words, forget it. It's not necessarily even about tests now. Hashem sets us up in life with all the kaiches in order to do what we need to do. If someone complains to Hashem, again, Moshe Rabbeinu did on his level. If someone complains to Hashem the way Moshe Rabbeinu did, that I can't, says Hashem, no, you could have. You could have. You had it all in you in order to do it. And now I'm going to bring in other people. But do you know where the Ruach HaKodesh is going to come from so that they'll be able to, quote unquote, help you with Klal Yisrael? It's going to come from you.
Did he try to do it or not?
What?
He made it
this far, but then he said, Hashem, I can't. Hashem said, You could have. Now, this expression. Moshe is saying, where am I supposed to get slav for everyone? I can't anymore. It's too much for me. A marshal to this would be that what's it called? If someone says that's it. They have let's say they have two kids. They say, oh, I can't. That's it. I can't anymore. So you know what? Hashem might say, okay, really, I was going to give you another 10 kids. Now you're not going to have them. And someone else who's davening for kids, I don't have more neshamas up here. Those 10, we'll go to him. Those 10, we'll go to him. We'll be split up amongst. It could be used anywhere in life, whether it's about applying oneself to Torah, being mechanech, someone helping someone out, tzedakah, basic bin adam al-chaveri. Everything will get done. Klai Yisrael will get their meat. The kids will be born. The tzedakah will be done. You're the shliach. Oh, you don't want to do it, huh? It was in you. Hashem says, I'm gonna remove it from you. I'm gonna remove kufa from you. I already sent it down to the world. We say similarly, what's it called by Shavuos? Say what's it called? Hashem has sent a certain amount of siyata shmai down to the world to be able to learn the entire year. So, by Shavuos, they go make a shtickle Torah. It didn't tire on everything. Okay. Let's see. What'd you do with it? You had five bags worth of siyata shmai. Did you use all of them? If you didn't use all of them, then going into the new year, I'm going to take Siyat Deshmaya that you would have had, I'm going to take that and hand it to other people who wanted more, but for whatever reason, it just didn't work out for them to have it. I'm going to give it to them instead. Also a similar idea. You have to be very careful to use the keichas that we have. Should be a Ilui Neshama for Harav Yerucham Levavitz.